I trust the Lord will bless us this morning as we assemble together and ask you to be in prayer to that end, that for a little season of time we might be separated from all the things outside of this building and be solely attuned unto the Lord. I was thinking the other day how much more peaceful life would be if we didn't know what was going on in the world.
Right. Yeah.
I think one of the most peaceful weeks that I've ever spent was up at Bethany Church for singing school. And we started on Sunday, and I parked my car and walked back and forth to where I was sleeping, to the church building, that entire week. And nobody talked about what was on the news or what was going on in the world. We just had good fellowship and spiritual singing. And what I would call a revival,
yes,
of spirit in the Lord.
Amen.
And so I think that we as the Lord's church today deal with and suffer through situations that the church didn't have even 50 years ago, but certainly 100 or more years ago,
right,
not knowing all the evil that is out there. And we don't hear about it a few days after it happens. We get to watch it as it happens. And that can be very alarming to the spirit and can cause us much concern about where we live and what we have to endure.
Right.
But I remember the Lord never hid those things from us.
Amen.
He said, if they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
Right.
And I don't so much worry about myself. I honestly can't name a time in my life that I felt persecuted.
Right.
Not the way the church in the New Testament days was persecuted. But I know that there are people in the world where the gospel is at risk and folks are locked up for preaching the gospel or even offering just a biblical opinion.
Amen.
About what they believe. And I pray for those who stand for the truth and trust that one of the songs that we sang, one of the lines was something like, when we see the Lord, all the toils of life repay. So one day we'll see the Lord.
Amen.
And we'll see him as he is.
Right.
Not as the apostles saw him.
Right.
Not in a flesh and blood sense after the seed of Abraham. But in all of his glory and all of his majesty.
Yes.
And the thing is, we'll see him that way because we will be that way also.
Yep.
We'll see him as he is, for we shall be as he is. I had two sermon thoughts this morning as I rode down here. My wife doesn't let me drive anymore. I tend to hit the brake and the gas at the same time. So we have some experience, some exciting experiences when I drive. So she's much more comfortable letting me ride. But I had two sermon thoughts this morning, and I just debated which direction do I go in. And I finally come to the conclusion. One of them I think I could stand up here and speak about without any hindrance or without any challenge. But I think that would be the easy route.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take the one I'm not too sure of. and trust the Lord will make it to be what we need to hear this morning. I want to begin with a verse of scripture in the 14th chapter of John. The 14th chapter of John. Jesus is giving us a statement that identifies a little bit about him. And there's no way that we will ever know everything about the Lord in this body. I trust one day we will. The Bible even says that the Lord has done more than all the books of the world could fill.
Right.
So I sit and wonder sometimes, I wonder what the Lord did. I wonder what the Lord did that he just did not impress upon men to put into words. And we can only speculate, and I'm sure our speculation is very small compared to the truth.
Right. Amen.
But the Lord gives us here a statement about himself that we want to get something out of this morning. 14th chapter of John and the 6th verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yes.
Now, we understand and know that there is only one Father.
Right.
There's not a multitude of gods.
Right.
There are a multitude of creatures that man has come up with in his own mind.
Amen.
And I think the worst idol that there is the one that you see when you look in the mirror every
right.
morning.
Amen.
We idolize ourselves. And usually, if not 100% of the time, every man-made idol is created to serve the man.
That's right. Amen.
You think about what the children of Israel did as Moses is up in the mount and comes back down, and what condition he finds them in. What did the children of Israel want? They wanted to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Because there was something familiar there. How strange it is that the most ungodly familiar can be more desirable than the godly that we don't yet know about.
Right.
So if we have God who parts the sea for us to walk across on dry ground, if we have God who presents himself as fire by night and a cloud by day and is with us continually, and we have God, you know, the shoes that they wore never wore out?
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
God just doesn't think about the big things like the army that's trying to kill you. He thinks about the little things.
Amen.
Because your feet have to be comfortable when you're traveling such a great distance. All of these folks saw those things and knew those things, yet in a moment of weakness, they turned and said, make us a God that will carry us back to Egypt. Why they just didn't start walking back by themselves, I don't know. I guess they wanted somebody to blame when it didn't work out.
Yep.
You know, we'll make an idol, we'll make a God. If it doesn't work out, we'll just blame him. But this is what was found in a moment of weakness, of rebellion against the God, man serving himself with his own creation. And you know that hasn't ended.
No.
that has not ceased to be in 8,000, 10,000, ever how many thousand years it's been, that's not ceased to be. We still serve ourselves by our own idol creations. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those three things are absolutely necessary for the child of God in the service of God here in the kingdom of God, for the eternal blessings of God's people. These things are necessary. And I will go ahead and include, he has given us all spiritual blessings.
Amen. Yes.
All things that are necessary for not only the eternal salvation of God's children, but for the time that we live here in this world, for our day-to-day salvations.
Amen. Yes.
For our day-to-day deliverance from different situations that we might be in, or different persecutions that we might be in. He's the only way.
Yeah.
And he comes at the end of this verse, as no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find also here in John that no man can come to the Father except he draw them. God draws us to him.
Amen.
By grace. So certainly he is the way. He is the only way.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that while we live in this world, we have an opportunity to walk in a higher way.
Amen.
You see, the Lord said, I come to give life and life more abundant.
Yes.
I'm thankful for life. I say with all humility, I believe I have life. Sometimes I feel like Paul when I would do good evils present with me.
Yeah.
But I most of the time I feel like I have the life that Jesus came to give, and that I am a part of him and that he's in me. I feel that not as a boastful statement or a proud statement, but Lord, I tell you what, as an humble statement, because I don't understand why he chose me.
Amen.
But then he says, and life more abundantly. We have abundant life.
Amen.
While we live here, we have an opportunity like this morning to assemble together of one mind and one accord to worship the Lord in the truth that he's given us.
Yes.
That's what God seeks. He seeketh us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Those two things are absolutely necessary.
Right.
And I love the old Baptist church, and I'm thankful for the truth, and I'm not going to sacrifice the truth. But brother, we ought to be fighting for the spirit just as much as we do for the truth.
Amen.
When I get excited, my voice changes.
Preach, brother.
I'm still a teenager, I guess, you know. The truth without the spirit is not... Well, it's not what we need.
Right.
We need both of them.
Amen.
Because God is glorified in both of them.
Yes.
The way, the truth, the life. He is our life. Without him, we have no life.
Right.
We are his creation. Yet from that point, according by his grace, those that he loved, for whatever reason, those that God loves, he has made them to be alive, not just literally, physically, but spiritually.
Amen.
There is a big difference in being dead in trespasses and sin and being alive in the Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
You go from one nature to two. I'm looking forward to the day we go from two back to one, but it's the other one.
Amen.
You know. I'm looking forward to the day we get rid of that natural nature and all we have is a nature of holiness and righteousness as Jesus Christ has.
Amen.
We're joint heirs with Christ. But in the middle of this, he says, I am the truth. What's the truth? I mean, a very short answer. If you ask me, Brother Owens, what's the truth? I'd say, well, Jesus Christ is the truth.
Yes.
And then you might say, no, what is the truth? And then I may ask, well, what's the question?
Right.
What truth are you looking for? And I would have a lot of questions. If I had 1 hour to sit down and talk to Jesus and ask him anything, I have a lot of questions. What is the truth? Well, there's only one Jesus. There's only one truth.
Amen.
Anything else not being the truth is a lie.
Right.
Okay. One of the things that you learn by listening to the news these days or reading comments by people on social media or whatever it might be, or maybe even conversation with people that you know, is they don't necessarily agree with your truth. They don't understand what I will call the truth. They want what's called their truth. Somebody says, well, this is my truth. My question, brother, is it the Lord's truth?
Amen. Right.
If it is the Lord's truth, then you claim it. It can be your truth. But if it's not the Lord's truth, then your truth is a lie.
Amen.
Right.
Let me get something that Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, who changed the truth of God into a lie.
Yep.
And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Yeah.
They didn't change the truth of God into another truth.
No. Amen.
They changed it into a flat out lie.
Exactly right.
Amen.
What makes it a lie? It's different from God.
Right.
It contradicts God. It's unholy. It's unrighteous. One of my litmus tests of God's word or of any statement about God, who does it glorify?
Right.
You know what a litmus test is? They take the little piece of plastic, stick it down in the liquid and pull it up, and you take the cup and you match the color and you see what the liquid, whatever it is you're looking for, if it contradicts God, then it's not the truth.
Amen. Right.
If it gives glory unto man, it's not the truth.
Right.
But you find a teaching in any church, and I use that word very loosely, there is only one church. If man is getting any of the glory, then they either don't have any of the truth or they don't have part of it.
Right, right. Amen.
All right. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. Most of the time when we're talking about the word truth, we're having some discussion about the gospel. What does the gospel teach on some particular matter? Okay. The church at Galatia faced a very difficult time in their service to God. The Apostle Paul comes along and he preaches to them salvation by the grace of God. You know, here's the thing though. There are a lot of groups of people that will tell you, we believe in salvation by the grace of God. So you have to ask them, well, what does that mean to you? What does grace mean to you? And they'll tell you how the Lord came, His Son died on the cross and saved us from our sins. But somewhere in there, there's going to be a but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere in there, I've heard a lot of good sermons on the radio from other groups of people.
Right.
Until they get to the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they throw in, but you've got to accept it. Or, but you've got to be baptized or claim it or pray this prayer. Whatever it is, there's always something at the end that gives glory to man and takes it away from God. So I ask them, what does grace mean to you? Tell them what grace means to you. So listen, let me tell you what the Bible grace is. Yes, a short definition, it's unmerited favor. But maybe we need to add on, it is unmerited favor undeserved by you.
Right, yeah.
Unclaimed by you. Part of this definition of grace is that it comes from above to that which is below.
Amen.
Grace doesn't start here and go up.
Amen.
It always comes down. And if you are able to be gracious one to another, it is because God has first been gracious to you.
Amen.
It's also a great sign of regeneration.
Right.
The wicked are not gracious one to another.
Yeah.
There's always some motive. They may do some things that look godly,
yeah,
but there's always a motive there to get glory for themselves.
Right.
Or to gain some worldliness for themselves. So Av, what does that mean to you? Let me tell you what it means to me. The church at Galatia listened to the Apostle Paul. And I'm assuming they believed it. They received it. They rejoiced in it. Until Paul left and somebody else came along.
Right.
If they had been truly grounded, if this had become to them, part of them. And I'm not belittling them. I'm no better than them. But I'm saying, brethren, you know, I've known people who have left the old Baptist church and gone elsewhere. And my thinking is, if you understood it, you wouldn't have left it.
Amen.
Or if you left it for whatever reason, you would have found another church preaching the same doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, people don't quit their jobs. They quit their bosses.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't leave the church. They leave the pastor.
Right.
or the people sitting on the pew with them, for whatever reason, they just feel, I can't worship with them anymore. But if you're truly grounded in it and believe it with all your heart, you can't leave the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have to find it somewhere. Because there are no substitutes. So if we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about the truth of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And somebody else came along to the church at Galatia and said, you know, listen, I believe in grace also. Maybe that's what they said. Oh, I agree with Paul. He's a good man. They might have even lied. Paul sent me here to follow up with you folks. You know, there are ravening wolves in sheep clothes out there. But they came along and said, listen, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. You know there's truth in that? Unless God circumcises your heart,
amen,
you're not saved.
Right.
You're not one of His. But the thing is, God will do that for every child of God that He elected and foreknew before the foundation of the world.
Truth, right.
I'm not worried about all those things that have to take place for me to get to heaven. Jesus Christ has given them all.
Amen.
He, the Father, and the Holy Spirit have done them all.
Praise God.
And there's nothing left to do.
Amen.
But I don't know what argument they gave, except, you know, you got to be circumcised to be saved. And then Paul finds out about this. Whew. I imagine Paul had some sleepless nights. He may have thought, I need to run back over there. But maybe he was someplace else that he felt also he needed to be. So I'm going to write him a letter. I can get this letter to him faster than I can get back over there. And this is what he says about this situation. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Brethren, I'm thankful that he doesn't end right there.
That's right.
Let's say that I have a truth and you have a truth. And they differ. They're different. Well, whose is more valid? Let's say I have a gospel and then Paul says to another gospel, so you have another gospel. Whose gospel is more valid? The next statement, Paul puts an end to that question. That's a frivolous question.
Yeah.
Whose gospel is more valid? Because now he says, which is not another? But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Right.
Brethren, there's only one gospel.
Amen.
There's only one truth.
Right.
There's only one way. And one Lord. And Paul says that later. One God, one Father, one Spirit, one truth, one gospel. There's only one. And brethren, it's what God gave.
Amen.
Not what men connived on their own. I'm thankful this morning that God has led us in a path to understand or at least receive that gospel.
Yes.
And I don't guess understand's a bad term. I understand part of it. I understand enough of it to know it's God's and that He gets all the glory. I understand enough of it to know that Jesus Christ died for his people, of which I believe we are all part of that. I understand enough of it to go to sleep at night not worrying about whether my relatives have been saved.
Amen.
Not worrying whether my congregation has been saved. And we should spend our entire lives laboring to understand it more and more.
Amen.
Paul said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." I don't want my congregation to be ignorant.
Amen.
Brother David doesn't want his to be ignorant. Brother Joe doesn't want his, and so forth and so on. We want the Lord's people to know everything that God would give us while we're here in this world.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we have received far more than what a lot of people have.
Amen.
And I admonish you to hold on to it.
Amen.